Good morning. Welcome to the Forgotten Word. Once again, this is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries, and we're certainly so happy to be with you again today. And thank you for tuning in. And I want to continue today on the same vein of telling some little stories that will help to build your faith, help to give you maybe some promises to stand on to help you in your walk with the Lord. I want to talk today a little bit about a couple little incidents that Charles Finney, the great preacher, talked related. It says, starting off here, it says, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." The two of them started a movement that led to the discomfiture of a whole army. Well, Finney tells of a blacksmith who was so wrought over conditions in his community that he locked the shop door and spent the afternoon in prayer. Well, a great revival started the very next Sunday, and people dated their deep conviction of sin from the very hour the old man was praying in his shop. That's amazing. Shows what prayer can do, doesn't it? Also, here's another, the same little story here. When Finney was conducting a revival in a certain place, a young woman came from a neighboring town and asked him to go there and preach. Her utterance was choked with deep feeling. Mr. Finney told her he did not see how he could go, but he looked up the place and found that it was a moral waste, cursed by a minister who had changed to infidelity. The young woman came the next Sunday and appeared greatly affected, too much so to converse, for she could not control her feelings. The evangelist consented to go the next Sunday p.m., and after his arrival at her home, he heard her praying in a room above. He remained in the home overnight and heard her praying and weeping nearly all night. She pleaded with him to come again, and at the third service, the Spirit of God was poured out on the congregation. A spirit of prayer came powerfully upon Mr. Finney, as it had upon this young woman. The spirit of prayer spread, and the revival that followed was so powerful that nearly all the principal inhabitants of the town were gathered into the church, and the town was morally renovated. This great spiritual movement was started by the young woman's prayers. Now, those two little stories are just real encouraging to know that you too can pray and great things can happen. The little article I just read you ends with saying, "Where can we find anyone interested enough to pray like that today?" Finney was noted for his wonderful life of prayer and for his dependence on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Cannot we learn a lesson from him who says, "I find myself better or worse as I pray more or less"? Do we care enough about others to pray for them in a way which would mean an intensity of desire for them to find God? That's really a good question. Now, those stories were related. I read them from from Reverend Homer Yale out of the Gospel Herald. Those two little stories should instill in us some assurance of knowing that prayer truly does work. It works more than what we know. And as Finney used to say, "I find myself better or worse as I pray more or less." And that certainly, folks, is the answer. So many times we talk about praying, but we pray for a second and then it's gone. Prayer, in this instance, means to pray and be continually in prayer as oft as possible. And keep in touch with the Lord and communicate with the Lord. That's what real prayer is about. Now, another little story here. In conversation with Professor S.F.B. Morse, the inventor of the telegraph, Robert Morse, or I guess it was Samuel Morse. I'm so sorry. I apologize there. The inventor of the telegraph, Reverend George W. Hervey, asked him this question. "Professor Morse, when you were making your experiments yonder in your rooms in the university, did you ever come to a stand not knowing what to do next?" "Oh, yes, more than once," replied Morse. "Well, at such times, what did you do next?" Well, I may answer you in confidence, sir, said Professor Morse, but it is a matter of which the public knows nothing. I prayed for more light. And the light generally came? Yes, and may I tell you that when flattering honors came to me from America and Europe on account of the invention which bears my name, I never felt I deserved it. I had made a valuable application of electricity, not because I was superior to other men, but solely because God, who meant it for mankind, must reveal it to someone, and was pleased to reveal it to me. In view of these facts, is it not surprising that the inventor's first message was, "What hath God wrought?" Now that, I believe I'd heard something about this once before, but it really didn't stick with me until I read it again. But it's amazing to look back and hear some of the things some of these great men and women said that can be such an inspiration for us as individuals. It's just an inspiration for me. I hope it is for you also. I learned from each one of these messages as I read them, as I read them earlier, and as I read them to you. Each one of them is another avenue, another tool for me to understand that my work for the Lord can be more, and certainly will bring about more good the more I do it. This next little story is about when the Holy Spirit talks to you and you know you need to be doing something, do you listen? Let me read you a couple little things here. This is from R.A. Torrey. It says, one evening when Mr. Alexander and I were in Brighton, England, one of the workers went out from the afternoon meeting to a restaurant for his evening meal. His attention was drawn toward the man who waited upon him, and there came to his heart a strong impression that he should speak to that waiter about his soul. But that seemed to him such an unusual thing to do that he kept putting it off. When the meal was ended and the bill paid, he stepped out of the restaurant, but had such a feeling that he should wait to speak to the waiter that he decided to wait outside until the waiter came out. In a little while, the proprietor came out and asked him why he was waiting. He replied that he was waiting to speak with the man who had waited on him at the table. The proprietor replied, well, I'm sorry, but you'll never speak to that man. After waiting upon you, he went to his room and shot himself. Well, the thing that he asked here now, Mr. Torrey, is, men and women, there are opportunities open to every one of us tonight that will be gone, and gone forever, before another day dawns. The time is short. And isn't that the truth, folks? How many times in our life have we had the feeling that we needed to talk to somebody about something? We knew we should. I'm sure that all of us have felt it. I really should go talk to so-and-so, or I should go back in and talk to that person, but we don't do it. And sometimes those are strangers, so we never know what happens to that person ever again. We passed up an opportunity that the Holy Spirit was telling us about. So I guess my urgent prayer for all of us would be that we would recognize the urging of the Holy Spirit when he talks to us, when he's letting us know that we are supposed to be doing something. We have to just do it. We can't stop and put it off and use excuses like, well, this isn't the time or the place, or they might be embarrassed by it right now. Let me find a different way to do this. You know, when the Holy Spirit calls, we really should listen. It might mean the difference between life and death for someone. Now, this story is from L.G. Broughton, who was a minister. Excuse me. He says, I was in Washington some time ago riding on a streetcar. It was one of those cars with an underground trolley. I observed that the motorman could easily make the car go slowly or make it go fast. When we would come to a cross street, I noticed that by a touch of the handle, the car would almost stop, and yet would not quite stop, but just go creeping along like a snail. Then all at once, the motorman would touch the handle again, and the car would go almost at a rate of a mile a minute. And I got curious to know how the thing was done. I said to myself, I can't see how it is that if he touches that wire at all, he does not get all the power that there is in the powerhouse, and so I ventured to go out on the platform and ask him about it. Why, he said, when I squeeze this handle, I open the mouth that grips the trolley. When I want to go slow, I open the mouth that grips the trolley, and it just touches it. When I want it to go fast, it turns loose and grips the trolley and gets all the power in the powerhouse. We call the first skinning the wire. Well, I said to myself, I've got 2,000 members in my church that are just skinning the wire. They never have done anything but skin the wire. And you know that just about 9/10 of our churches, and I say this with intense sadness in my heart, 9/10 of the church, of the churches in this country are skinning the wire. But there's a powerhouse, and all the power of heaven is there, and it is at our disposal if we will only grip the wire with the trolley of faith. The trouble is our faith is so weak that it just skins the wire. So that's a real, real good little example there of if you take hold of your faith and believe in the Lord, you can do mighty things. But if you just dilly-dally around and barely hit on what the Lord's trying to get you to understand, you're really not going to be a very good example of Christianity, are you? You're basically, like he said here, skinning the wire. And that could be a good lesson for all of us. Take hold of the gospel. Take hold of the words of the Lord and clutch them to your chest and learn and listen and grow from what the Lord's teaching you, and then go out and share that with other people. That's just the way it works. It's the way it's supposed to work anyway. Just like Mr. Moody said one time, he said, this guy told Mr. Moody, I've come 100 miles, said a minister, to get some of Dr. Moody's spirit. Dr. Moody said, you don't want my spirit. What you want is the spirit of God. And isn't that the truth? We need the spirit of God, people, to be able to teach and to preach and to reach out to folks that don't know who the Lord is. To be good witnesses for the Lord, you really have to know who the Lord is, don't you? You got to know the Lord well. And that's something that you can do, I can do. All of us can do this if we want to, but it is a matter of wanting to do it. It's not, the Bible today is paper and words on paper, ink and paper. We have to let people know what we read from the Bible. If we just lay a book down and nobody picks it up to read it, or nobody picks it up to read it to somebody else, the Bible's not going to tell anybody anything, is it? It's our job to share the holy word of God with others. That's our obligation, as I've said before, to the Lord. We need to take the Bible and learn from it, read it, see what it's all about, and share that with other folks that they might understand. So once again, time's flown by. I hope you've learned a little bit today. God bless you, and we'll talk to you in the morning.
We pray these programs have been a blessing to you and they've taught you something. We feel that, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do, and we pray that and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, CAMPPOINT, two different words, Illinois, 62320. God bless you.